I'm so happy you've clicked on us again for another thrilling episode from Norm Nathan's Vault of Silliness. Tell your friends, spread the word, like, and subscribe. This is a smorgasbord of Norm. Or should I say, smorgas Norm? Yes, I should. It's a little different as we have two dumb birthday games that bracket a regular Norm show. The first part is from July 8th, 1995. We get some great pre-game laughs and play just a little before the tape switches to July 15th, 1995, where we will hear from Steve Lavelli, who at the time was filling in for David Brudnoy. He talks about his heroes, and then we skip to he and Norm continuing that discussion on Norm's show. We then move to Norm interviewing a guest, and then close with a different pre-dumb birthday game chatter that's so good the tape ran out before the game even started. Here are some additional details for those of you keeping score at home. Dumb birthday game number one, the players. I'm on the phone, Jack is in traffic, Hope Shower is producing and playing, the snappy Bob in Brighton, we have Cutter from Newton, the exciting Mark and Gardner, and a last-minute addition of Howard from Boston. We start off with some dead birthdays. They're only mentioned, we don't play with those. Marty Feldman, Billy Eckstein, Louis Jordan, Faye Emerson, and Nelson Rockefeller. The birthdays that we do play the game with, Steve Lawrence, who, by the way, started as a cantor at his synagogue, same way Norm started. Oh boy, and here we go. Swing and scat versions, Arthur Godfrey as a cantor, a Lynn Rabbi's putting a curse on the show, and then we're blessed with a high mass version of the EAS test with Father Jack, Brother Tony, and Rabbi Normala. Moving to more birthdays. Angelica Houston. Kevin Bacon. Now, we never find out how old he is because the game is interrupted by an interview, which lasted somewhere around 10 minutes. It was already in progress, and it gets cut off, so I don't include it here, as we do return to the gang and continue with Craig Stevens, Phil Graham, George Romney, and then we briefly go off the air and make a static-filled return. There's some talk about Norm's hay-filled car, which, I might add, I have personal experience with. We learn about some peculiar zoning regulations in Middleton, Massachusetts. Steve Lavelli's recent terrible wiffle ball outing where he gave up 6 runs in the first inning, which leads to a discussion of a guest appearing later, though we don't have that interview here. It had to do with the WWF. If I remember this correctly, it was the World Wiffle Ball Federation, and they had a tournament being held in Hopkinton, Massachusetts. Then Norm introduces his first guest, Penny DeYoung. She and her husband Buddy have an 80-acre dairy farm located in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan that they have turned into a zoo. The interview does get cut off, but what we do here is super entertaining. We then return to additional pre-dumb birthday game chit-chat. Two women, Deborah and Jenny. Norm tries to play matchmaker, but Jack politely declines and gives his reason. At times, the audio quality is not the best, but that only makes you listen more closely. Get your ears ready. Episode 45, The Smorgasnorm, is ready to go.
You were talking about how much, you know, you're a real snappy dresser.
Yes, I pride myself on my coiffured look.
Oh, yes, and I was thinking to myself, you know, he's absolutely right, because I've never seen a man look so good in plaid in all my life.
I even have plaid briefs.
And your glasses are plaid. The frame of your glasses are
everything,
plaid.
Everything plaid. That's why I was the inspiration for that show, Really Plaid.
Really?
Now, what was that show called? Was it
Forever Plaid.
Forever Plaid, see, yeah. And I always have these wonderful humorous lines in my grasp that I can't remember how the original went.
And, of course, I just realized that the daily number is changed every day. It's fresh when you think about it, right?
Oh, the lottery numbers,
yeah.
Yes.
It's a fresh, it's daily. Do you think we should begin calling it the Schrod number or something?
We could, that's great, too, delivered directly from the lottery factory, the
Massachusetts,
right?
Tonight Drawn and the Daily Schrod. You know? Well, it was just a thought, Norm.
I think you've got too much time on your hand, Tony, to tell you the truth.
Well, what am I doing at 3:10 in the morning? I got a lot of time in my head.
That's right. What else is there to do? I'm going to bring Jack Hart. I usually introduce you guys toward the end, but the heck with it. You guys are top drawer for my talking about briefs and stuff. How you doing there, Jack?
Speaking of top drawers and briefs, yeah.
Thank you very much. I love that one traffic thing you talked about. You can't take that ramp or something because it's closed. Yeah, but you phrased it a little. Can you boost yourself up just a little bit?
Wait a second. Let me get a phone book and sit on it. There we go. How's that?
Oh, that's kind of adorable. Yes. Okay. Now, how did you phrase that?
Let's see. Some delays getting on to the Central Artery southbound by way of Congress Street and Purchase Street. Actually, no delays at all. You'll be sent around the block because it's closed.
Surprise.
You know something? I haven't heard Jack mention wall washing and bulb changing for a long time.
Well, you know, he
brought it back tonight.
Yeah. In two places. Well, it's wall washing and bulb changing season.
Oh, this I suppose is you're right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you get in spring, you get flowers blooming. In the fall, you get apples. In the winter, you get snow. And then the summertime, you get wall washing and bulb changing.
After July 4th, look out.
Mm-hmm.
The tunnel will be as bright and clean as
those bulbs will be changed. If there ever was a changed bulb, those bulbs
will be. Tonight, tomorrow night, betcha. You'll need sunglasses just to go through the tunnel.
Yeah, you won't know how to deal with it.
The bright new bulb shining off the fresh, clean walls. Oh.
They've taken all the bugs out of the little globe that goes over them.
All right, you guys, all right. We have Hope Shower, who, of course, will be playing the game with us. Hello.
Hello, and I'm seriously concerned about how much time these guys have on their hands.
And Jack's working. Think about that.
He's
too.
Working here.
Yeah. Okay, let's introduce some of the civilian members of our panel now. We have Bob in Brighton. Hello, Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just finishing my
I thought you were going to say
Hi, I'm fine.
That's a really snappy come-on line. Boy, you ever think of opening at the Comedy Connection with that?
Just closed.
Yeah, do you have any jokes about Gold Bond? Usually we have a few of those, too. Excuse me while I squirt some Gold Bond up my nose. This way I don't have to... Well, never mind.
Speaking of Gold Bond, Norm, yes. I'm sorry. Did you see one of the things I printed out for you?
Let's see. Though I haven't looked through them yet. I have them right in front of me here.
Okay, it has something to do with a powder that has just been given FDA approval. I shouldn't say much more. I want you to read it first and... It brings a new meaning to extra strength Gold Bond, I'll tell you that much.
This will give you the itch back.
It's supposed to have something to do with impotence. It's supposed to help impotence.
I think I've seen something about that.
Yeah.
It certainly helped me last night. I love to talk that way because it doesn't make any sense.
And we all know now what the bond and Gold Bond means.
Sure.
It's for those times when you've got an itch, but you can't do anything about it.
You want to incorporate any of this into your act, Bob?
I'll pass.
Okay. We have Cutter, who's in. Is that your name, Cutter Newton?
Yes, sir, it is.
That's your first name, Cutter. That's an interesting name.
It's an old nickname.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's not your real name. Your real name is probably Marion.
It's something close. Look, I want to let you know, I'm sitting here with the Funk and Wagnalls New Comprehensive International Dictionary of the English Language.
Oh, it's got scribe in there?
It certainly does.
And it says what?
It says a young codfish, especially when split and prepared for broiling.
Oh, I think that's wrong, then, because it's not necessarily codfish. As most people seem to agree, the scrot is just a name for the kind of the catch of the day or something.
Well, you'll have to take that up with Mr. Funk and Mr. Wagnall.
Well, I'm in constant contact with them and helping them add new words that we get during the night. For example, when we go off the air at 5 o'clock this morning, by 5:30, I'm on the phone with both of them telling them new words that listeners have used.
God bless you.
And by 5:31, they've hung up on me. Anyway, thanks a lot for looking that up, Cutter. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay, how about, I wish it were a problem. See, then I would appreciate it more. I hear when people say no problem, I think, what am I thanking them for if there was no problem there? If there was really a problem, then it still he did it. That's something, you know?
Are you looking for a problem here, sir?
Yeah, let me just thank you again and try to phrase it a different way. Hey, thanks a lot for looking that up, Cutter.
You're damn lucky.
I like that. That's better. That's a lot better. Thank you. Let's go to Mark in Gardner. Mark, hello.
Hey. How you doing, Norm?
Well, you sound like you're just ready to lie down and call it quits for the rest of your life.
I don't know. I get out of work a couple hours ago.
Yeah, what kind of work do you do?
I test circuit boards for computers.
Yeah, do you hate the job a lot?
Well, I'm going to school, too, so...
Oh, I see. So this is not going to be this is not your final career move.
God, I hope so.
What a circuit board study in order to be tested?
Can I say the company I work for?
Sure.
Simplex?
Simplex.
You go into a...
It's an acne medication, isn't it?
Most hotels...
It's a cold sore.
If you have the fire alarm system, it'll be a Simplex system.
Okay.
And
then can you...
I test against the circuit boards that are going on.
Okay, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I like to do in my spare time. It's kind of a hobby of mine.
You know, all of my job is, I always say, every time I get bored, I just say, well, lives depend on it.
That's good.
Wow. Not necessarily your own.
Yeah, okay.
That one doesn't pay like that.
Okay, we got a number of interesting people who were born on July 8th, which, of course, is today's date.
Hmm.
Including some, let me tell you who the dead people are, whose birthdays we won't be getting, but a lot of interesting people, like Marty Feldman, who I thought was one of the funny guys, the pop-eyed British comic.
Hey.
With Young Frankenstein.
What about all the people who are playing the game?
No.
We haven't gone through them all yet.
No, we're not going to guess these ages, because these are people who are deceased.
You haven't introduced them all yet, Norm. Oh, I'm still waiting, is why I mention it.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's the only reason I bring it up. I mean, you know.
No, wait a minute. Who is this?
This is Howard.
Oh, wait. Didn't I get to you?
No.
Oh, I'm Howard from Boston. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. You know, I just thought I'd bring it up, somewhere between now and, say, 4 o'clock. You know?
No, I apologize, Howard. I'm so sorry. I thought I'd gone through the entire list. Do you find that happens to you a lot, that people just ignore you?
No. As a matter of fact, Norm, in fact,
oh, Norm,
I think you're
so
the first one.
I was wondering,
was someone talking?
Yeah, no, will you stop? Because the name Howard always reminds me of a joke. Let me see how the joke goes. The joke is, I can't think of it. The guy goes, it has to do with a drink and a grasshopper, which is a kind of drink. Oh, yeah, grasshopper. Grasshopper goes into a bar and says, could you give me a, I'd like a drink. And I says, do you know that there was a drink named after you? And the grasshopper says, there's a drink called Howard.
Well, now I'm really not sure I should have said anything. I should have just let it go.
Okay. Howard, I'm sorry. I apologize for going past it. I know this is going to sound like sour grapes, but the reason I missed your name is because I'm incredibly stupid.
Well, I figured that or illiterate and couldn't read it on the screen or whatever.
Well, that too. That's all part of it. But I welcome you, and I'm very glad you sound like you're going to be fun. And if you're not, you're out of here, man.
Yeah, I have a money back offer.
That's right. You get double your money back. Or we give you back time. Actually, time is a little bit better. And we put it in a bottle, and I call it, well, never mind. Anyway, today is Steve Lawrence's birthday.
What about the dead people? You only went through one of them.
Oh, that's true. She said,
I interrupted. I'm sorry.
I'm totally disorganized. Okay, other dead people born on this date. Billy Eckstein, who just died a couple of years ago. Louis Jordan, who did a lot of interesting things, including Open the Door, Richard. Only old people remember that. He died in 75. Faye Emerson, she was on the early days of television. She's married to a band leader named Skitch Henderson at the time. And anyway, she showed cleavage is what it was, which was kind of shocking in those days, early days of television. And Nelson Aldrich Rockefeller, who had run for president at one point, and actually was vice president. Those are the interesting people. But here are the live people still with us, ladies and gentlemen. God love them, and may the bluebird of happiness. Anyway, Steve Lawrence, entertainer, born Sidney Leibowitz in Brooklyn, New York. His biggest hit, "Go Away, Little Girl," was in 1957, written by Carole King and Jerry Goffin. He and Edie Gourmet have been married for 33 years and frequently appear together in concert, however, are living in separate houses in distant cities. I made that up.
That's why they've been married for 33 years.
Yeah, actually, they seem to enjoy each other, at least on television. You know, they work together very closely. They may actually even like each other.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. His father was a rabbi, and Steve started out as a cantor in a synagogue. I start up the same way, too. Yeah. If there are any rabbis listening, they're saying, well, you're a traitor to your own people.
Only you used to do it with a little bit of a swing.
Yeah.
It's kind of sounded like scat when you were doing that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can you do a little
of that with your Vaughn Monroe or your...
Shikong. Or you think, you wonder how Arthur Godfrey would have done it?
That would be nice.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Baruch HaTorah Adonai. Hello, hey, no fat. Something like that. There's a certain rabbi in Lynn. He never listens to me anyway. I don't think he ever knew what business I was in. But if he were listening, he would be putting a curse on the radio right now. He's got his hands on the radio saying, please, God, don't slay him immediately. Let him beget more first. Let him beget and then slay. Anyway, or let him not beget, for God's sakes. We don't need more of him. Oh. Anyways, that's Steve Lawrence. Anyway, I think we've kind of lost track of what we're doing here, but maybe I did. Steve Lawrence, how old is he? Bob, what do you think? You want to sing it as a cantor would sing it. That's okay.
I would say born in 19.
And remember, 33 years with Edie Gorman. They met on the on the Steve Allen show, didn't they? They were
lady.
Yeah.
He's born in 1940. I'm guessing. So he's 55.
55. Okay. And Cutter, what do you think?
I'm gonna have to say 58 years old.
58 years of age. Okay. Howard.
Yeah.
And if you want to take a longer time to guess, because I ignored you before, just please do that.
No, but I am curious. Cutter sounds a little bit like Joe Pesci. Is that like a fake name for you?
That's right. It really is Joe
it's
Pesci.
It's an old nickname from a long time back from growing up.
Can you just maybe just say a line for me so it'll prove? Just go, what do you think? I'm funny? Can you just say that?
I'm
a little skeptical. I think it is Joe Pesci calling your show, Norm.
I can pretty much assure you that at 3:30 in the morning, Joe Pesci's probably not going to be hanging out in Newton.
No, Joe Pesci also has a higher voice than that. His voice is way up here somewhere.
I have a male voice.
And a very soft voice, right? No?
It's got up there like that. You think I made him a musical?
See?
Yeah.
It's acting. It's all... All right, I'll guess. I don't know, 58
also, okay. And Jack?
Oh.
You gotta chant it, Jack.
Go
for it.
61.
That was, I like the music there. It kind of sounded a little more Chinese. Was that what you were aiming for? Kind of an Oriental?
Sort of an Eastern chant. Well, I went shopping today in a Chinese grocery store, and so that's where that came from.
It was very nice. It has certainly an international flavor to this program. And anybody can add any kind of a flavor to this bland program. It's okay with me. How about you, Mark? You'll spice it up, I know.
I'll say 68.
68, okay.
Wow, that was spicy, Mark. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby.
Tony, what do you think? What is it you're doing exactly?
I don't know.
He's cantering.
I'm saying the age at the high mass.
I see. That's Gregorian chanting kind of stuff.
Sure. You know, I understand you've got a new emergency broadcast system. In the event of an actual emergency, you'd be told where to tune in your area. Man.
If this had been an actual
emergency.
Yeah, but if God would have smoked you because you begat and slayed.
The preceding program was not necessarily the word of God.
Any resemblance to God or anything he believes in or she believes in is strictly coincidental.
All characters.
God was played by a professional actor. Okay, Tony, how old is Steve Lawrence? I think is the guy we're talking about.
The entire show is pure coincidence. He's at the magic 62.
62, okay. And Hope, what is your guess?
59.
Okay, we have A couple of winners. Actually, he's 60.
Oh.
Mm, nobody, you all came very close to that, but nobody said 60. Jack said 61, and Hope said 59. So they would be the two winners. Nobody else said either of those. Hmm? Yeah, or 60. He's not, these are, as the scorekeeper, I have a very heavy responsibility to make sure that my answer is accurate. So we have Jack and Hope on the first round. How about Angelica Houston?
172.
I wanted her age this year. That's not till next year. She played Morticia in the Addams Family movie. That's the only thing they list. She's been in a million movies.
She's from The Grifters.
The Drifters, that's right.
Grifters.
Oh, Grifters, yeah. Grifters, yeah. Grifters.
Don't you remember her hit song, Up on the Groove?
You're sick.
It's got to be something.
Anyway, that's Angelica. I was waiting for you to name some other movies she's been in. But I think people realize she's the daughter of the movie director, John Houston, who's the son of Walter Houston, the actor. So, yeah, very, very big family, a very prominent family. Howard,
yeah.
What do you think? How old is Angelica Houston?
Wow. Very old family, too. So I'd have to say she's up, way up there at approximately, I don't know, like 40.
That's way up.
45.
Do I have permission to smack him for that statement?
What do you say, Hope? How old do you think she is?
I think she's a young 47.
Okay, Bob, what do you think?
Okay.
I'm sorry, I kind of leaped out at you that way.
Yeah, I have the slightest idea. How about, gotta be 47 and a half.
We'll call it 47, okay? Want to round it out at that? That'd be good. Yeah. Let's see, Jack.
Because there's no rounder number than 47. Angelica Houston. Let's see, John Houston directed The African Queen, and he was no youngster then, and that must have been, like, 1952. And let me see, so that would be, now, was Angelica born then, or was she not born then? That is the question. let's see, I'll say she's 48.
Okay, she's 48. Okay, Tony, what do you think?
She's an angelic 48.
She's an angelic 48.
Still on that religion thing. I'll try to.
Mark, what do you say?
Well, anything older than 30 is old to me, so I'll say 50.
Wow. 50. How old are you, Mark?
24.
Well, you'll get there.
Yeah, don't step in front of a speeding truck or anything. You'll be all right.
Nobody is 24.
What do you think, Cutter? How old is...
What do you have? Could you give me a rundown?
You want a rundown or whatever?
I'm trying to get the curve.
Okay. Everybody guessed in the 40s. 47, 45, 248, 50, 47.
All right, I'm going to go 46.
46.
Sold. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Angelica Houston is 44 years old today. 44. And so I believe that Howard said 45. Howard won that round.
Hey,
Howard, hey.
Hey, what do you know?
I was trying to tie in the word grasshopper, but I think we've kind of used that one up.
Well, if you think of anything, I'm sure Jack will throw it in.
Yep.
There you go. Did you get that dig, Jack? That wasn't that wasn't a compliment at all. That was a knife right to your ribs.
Somehow, yeah.
Oh, that was...
No, I meant to feel it as a compliment. Yeah.
it
was okay. Definitely meant as a compliment.
Okay, today is also the birthday of... Let me see if I can act this one up here. Tonto, how come Kevin just sits there on the grill and sizzles? Kevin, Bacon. Oh, man. Anyway, Kevin, Bacon... has a birthday today. Only thing about Kevin Bacon, he starred in Footloose.
Apollo 13.
Apollo 13. That's right, he's in Apollo 13. Murder in the First. The Air Up There.
Footloose.
What's that?
Footloose.
Yeah, Footloose, yes. A Few Good Men. The River Wild. He was also on the soap opera the guiding light in 1980 and 81. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
And he was killed in the very first Friday the 13th.
Was he in that too?
Get an arrow through the neck.
An arrow through the neck.
He was also in JFK and Tremors.
Yeah, that's a pretty good record for a guy relatively young.
Did you see him in Murder in the First?
I did not. No, did anybody?
Excellent.
Yeah.
He was one of his best acting. He was just amazing in that. He really was.
Okay, and now you got the only dates are you 80 and 81 for the guiding light. That should help you kind of clue you in on his age. Cutter, what do you think? How old do you think Kevin Bacon is?
I'm going to say Kevin Bacon is a ripe 33.
That was Joe Pesci just spoke.
Tell me about it. Yeah, I've been saying it since the beginning.
No, I know that, but it sounded more like it to me this time than before. Craig Stevens,
that's
you know.
Some guy on radio, Norm.
Put it this way, Norm, yeah. He can't wear plaid like you can.
This is true.
Craig Stevens was on Peter Gunn. Do any of you remember that show?
Well, you
would remember that, but that was on in the very early days of television, like right around the 50s. It wasn't the 50s.
The theme.
Great theme song.
Henry Mancini wrote that. The photography was excellent. It was one of the really classy early shows. And he was married to...
I remember Silver Spoons and Beyond That, right?
What's that? Oh, sir, okay. he was married to Alexis Smith. You remember the actress?
Right.
Beautiful actress. She was in a number of Broadway shows. In fact, I saw her in one show, and Craig Stevens was sitting in the seat next to us.
Huh.
He was coming, obviously, in the theater to watch his wife. Lauren Bacall was in that. I can't think of the name. Oh, not Company. Well, it'll come to me eventually. Anyway, Craig Stevens. Bob, what do you say?
Can you tell us what year the show ran?
Peter Gunn was in the 50s. It was one of the early shows. I'd say the early 50s, as a matter of fact. It was one of the first really class shows, though, with good photography, a great soundtrack. Mother's was the club they used to meet at, and there was an album out of Henry Mancini doing the songs from that show. I used to play them on the jazz show because they were that pretty sharp.
Was Peter a young hero or more of a middle-aged hero?
No, that's a good question. He wasn't really young. He wasn't a teenager, but he was.
I'll say he's 71. Maybe that'll get something.
Okay. Bob is the old guy, so he sort of sets the pace because he remembers that all that old stuff.
Yeah, I gotta get some more Ovaltine.
Whenever in doubt, always bring up the word Ovaltine. Is that your slogan?
Certainly.
I see. Okay, Cutter, what do you think?
I'm going to go, if we're staying in this line of people lying about their ages, I'm going to say 66.
66, okay. Howard?
How about 69? I'll try that.
So, okay, and Jack?
Ovaltine.
73, okay. Tony?
71.
Mark?
Well, Norm, the only show I know with the word company is Three Company.
Great show, wonderful show.
No connection with Craig Stevens or Alexis Smith, but what the heck?
I've never heard of Craig Stevens, but I'll go way ancient and say 78.
Okay, and to Hope?
65.
Okay, actually, Mark won that round.
Right.
He's 79.
Whoa.
And Mark said 678. So nearly everybody but...
And that's really...
No, but Tony.
And he played Peter Gunn. Sure wasn't Peter Bow and Arrow?
That was Peter Rock.
Okay, so everybody... Tony's the only one who is not on the scorecard.
Because I called you before the game, you threw off my circadian rhythms.
Because you usually do very well.
Yeah.
And even Jack has only got one. Jack always does remarkably well. Yeah. But everybody has just one apiece except Howard, who has two. How about Phil Gramm, that swell senator from Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. I think... Yes. Yes, that's the senator from Texas. That's Phil Graham. Boy, I got thrown by this next line. He's born in Georgia, Fort Benning, Georgia. And he would be good for anybody with a bad case of, what do you call that when you can't sleep? I can't think of
insomnia.
Insomnia, that's awful. Yeah. I think he's going to be one of the most boring speakers. Co-author of the Graham-Rudman Act. And anyway, how old...
Rudman's no comedian either.
Warren Rudman, no. He seems like an intelligent man, but I don't know really quite what he's doing now.
He tried to have me arrested once, I don't know.
Warren Rudman?
Yeah.
What, do you live up in New Hampshire?
I was working in New Hampshire once.
Oh, I see.
The Attorney General.
Was it a sex crime or anything that we'd be really interested in knowing about? Never mind. Let's start with you, Howard. How old do you think Senator Phil Graham is?
About 55.
55. Okay, and Mark?
I'll go with 58.
58. Okay, Bob?
His name the other day, but I can't remember. I think it's 56.
56. Okay.
That's more than 70.
He looks more than 70?
Oh, my God. He's 56.
Yeah. Pardon me?
Thereabouts.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I was fishing through the newspaper to find his age, but I couldn't find it.
Oh,
56.
I see.
You're going to cheat.
Okay, you said, Hope, what do you say?
61.
Okay, and Cutter?
57.
Jack?
67.
67,
oh.
And what do you think, Tony?
I should really know this from reading about him enough.
I don't know if this is any clue for. I suppose I should clue you since everybody already.
Oh, please do. I'm the only one with nothing.
I would have had no idea how old he was. I'd never seen his age printed. I'll give you this clue. Excuse me. I thought he was a lot older than this age indicates he actually is. I don't know, maybe because of the old poopy things he says, that something like that. You can tell I'm not of his political stripe.
Oh, well, I'll take a cracker at it and...
Oh, jeez.
Change my answer to 25.
I love your reaction to that, Norm. That was great. He's got a graham cracker.
No, you always explain things.
I always like to, when I don't get a response, I figure, why not bury myself a little more, and I'm going ahead and explain it.
Okay. No.
Oh, God, could it be as young as 54?
I don't know. I was trying to think of how to tie the line in gramophone and all that. Phil.
He's crackers.
Yeah, crackers is better. Yeah, that's better. Okay, anyway, how old?
54. And I...
54.
Just don't care.
Well, see, when you don't care, that's when you come out on top. He's 53.
Hey.
And you came the closest. Nobody said 52 years. So now everybody's in the scoring column with one apiece. This is unusual. We're really spread out. Howard is still leading by two. Well, so this is the important final round.
Oh.
Mm. And this is George Romney, former governor of Michigan and a former presidential candidate. And whose son now lives here and ran against, he ran against Kennedy last time.
Mitt.
Yeah, Mitt, that's right. Mitt.
I wanted to be his
second wife. And his sister
Sock.
Mitt Romney.
No, Mitt Romney, that's the guy. I wanted to be his second wife because he's so adorable.
And wealthy.
Is he?
And he's a Mormon, so I thought maybe I could be wife number two.
That's right. He would need to be
divorced. When he gets home
more
at night, one of them is bound to be in a good mood.
There you go.
Okay, this is the final one, and this may make another tie. If anybody wins except Howard, then that's all. We'll send out two rotten gifts. What the hell do they cost anyway? They're nothing. Now that I've built that up. What do you say, Hope? How old do you think George Romney is? Maybe your future father-in-law.
Well, Dad, I'd say Dad is 69.
Okay, Mark, what do you think?
Can you tell me what he's been in, or...
He was the governor...
He started True Grit with... he's in Grifters.
Right. No, he was governor of Michigan several years ago, and he ran for president. I don't remember what year that was. I should know that. It was during the
think around 1912.
I think it was during the Vietnam War because he made some comment about having been
brainwashed
by some general there into thinking the war was okay. Then he decided it wasn't. Okay. So anyway, if you could pick up a year from that.
Okay, I'll say.
Considering the war was from 1900 to 1970, whatever.
Well, that's true. It covered a fairly long period.
I'll say
a couple of decades.
57?
How much?
57.
57. Okay, that would make him almost younger than his son.
All right, then I'll change that. 77.
How much?
77.
You changed that to 77? Okay, we'll call it 77.
Right.
Tony, what do you think? I love the way you said that. 71. So almost kind of a little touch of an accent, but not quite. 71.
Well, you know, I'm going to be on Maury on Wednesday.
That's right.
You know, Norm.
Yes.
If everyone gets bored with these birthday questions, I have a mathematical trivia question that I could...
Well, we can do that, except right now we'll be lucky to finish this one up because it's 3:58. It's almost news time.
Right. Well,
so tell us, Jack, anyway, how old? We better get through this quickly.
78.
78. Okay, Howard?
I'll play 76.
That's the spirit.
Okay, yep. And Cutter, what do you say?
75 years old.
75, okay. And Bob?
82.
Okay, we do have a two-way tie. He's actually 88. Yeah, 88 years old today.
Dad's older than I really.
Yeah.
He's old enough to be his own father.
Bob, I told you these are useless prizes, and you know how valuable Ovaltine is.
That's true. I'm sorry.
Okay. So thank you.
No problem.
No problem. Okay. Cutter, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
It's good. He does sound a little more like him all the time. Let's see. Now, Howard, we're going to hold on the line. Mark?
Yes.
Thank you very much for playing the game. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
Okay. And also, let's see. And Tony and Jack,
happy to play, happy to participate.
Yes, and all that kind of stuff.
And may the wind of happiness blow up your nose.
Okay, Tony and Jack, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Before the 13-year-old who called a few months ago about Nancy Kerrigan. Nancy Kerrigan was her hero. Why? The girl's a figure skater. This is what she wants to do. Nancy Kerrigan has reached this level of excellence, so there's a hero. So for me, you know, growing up and wanting to get into broadcasting, and also being interested in comedy and the news, my heroes were in no particular order, and this is an interesting group, Steve Allen, Walter Cronkite, and Norm Nathan. And as I think about it now, sitting here in the studio during this last commercial break, do I still have heroes? Yeah, it's those same three guys. O.J. Simpson used to be on... No, O.J. Simpson was never on my list. If it was an athlete, it would have been a baseball player. But, you know, when you ask this question, who is your hero, obviously a couple of years ago I could ask this question, and somebody might give the answer O.J. Simpson. It's a lot more unlikely answer now, I hope, but sports, you know, so many other commitments, you believe that, Steve. Tons of commitments, but I don't know, I feel kind of, if I'm going to be a hero, I ought to do things that are distasteful. Now, that was I don't mean to poke fun at that, because that was an interesting discussion. I really enjoyed that. And it had me thinking, you know, what is a hero?
Mm-hmm.
I think a hero is somebody who faces a task that he or she finds unpleasant, maybe even dangerous, but unpleasant, but does it because that's the only way to go. And I think a lot of people are heroes as a result of that. People who, I don't want to get too maudlin about this, but
oh, go ahead.
I'll get maudlin. I think it's very people who go to jobs they hate, but they make a living at it, and they have to support their families, and they stick with it until their kids go to college and all that kind of stuff, and give up their own lives in order to for somebody else. Nobody ever considers them heroes, but
is that a personal story?
That is a personal story, yeah. However, the movie rights have already been sold to a large motion picture company.
I know what you're saying about that, and I think that's when I talk to somebody about what I think is courage. My wife says to me, my wife hates to fly. I mean, she is scared to death to fly.
Well, she's a heroine when she flies.
And she says to me, you know, I can't believe how well you fly. You're so brave. I said, no, I'm not brave. It's no big deal to me. You're brave. You hate this. You're scared to death, and you get on the plane anyway.
That's right. I mean, a hero is not somebody who does something that is not, doesn't take courage. I mean, there's no, he's just an idiot. I'm not describing you in those terms, you understand, but I mean somebody who races into a burning building to rescue someone, right, but has no fear is a cuckoo,
right?
But someone who does it because they're scared to death, but they feel there's somebody in there and I must help some. I mean, that's a hero. Hero's doing something that is very, very difficult for you. So I think there are millions of heroes. I think there are parents, mothers who are up all night with a sick child or changing diapers and all that kind of stuff. Even though a lot of those tasks, well, if they're not distasteful, then they're not heroines. You know, if they love doing that, okay. But anyway, that's what I think. And somebody called you and said, police officers, for example, are not heroes because they're doing what they're getting paid to do. The pay has nothing whatever to do with it. I also don't think that the sports heroes are particular heroes either. I mean, they have a great skill, any more than saying Beethoven was a hero because he could write symphonies.
Yeah, but for people who are probably composers, he is a hero, you know, or musicians or whatever.
Well, he's a hero if he broke ground despite criticism he got for it that he found uncomfortable, but said, no, I think music ought to go in this direction, and I don't care whether I sell a single symphony or not, I'm going to do that because this is what we ought to be doing. I mean, I think that's kind of a shame.
Well, now I'm debating if you're really my hero or not.
You're talking beyond a minute. But, you know, some people are heroes because of things that we don't know about them. For example, Harry Truman, unusual president, and you can say a hero just by virtue of what he did in office. But before he became president, standing up to the Ku Klux Klan, I mean, that was heroic. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. What am I screaming and yelling at you? You've had 3 hours of this, and you want to get on to something else. And I insist upon continuing this.
I'm glad you enjoyed the show. You got into it.
Yes,
great.
I really did. I really did. I just said
it was interesting.
It was interesting. Is there anything else I ought to know about you? Think about it. Don't answer me just yet. We have a couple of messages, as people say, and I'll be right back, kids. And this kind of like other phrases like that, where you could cut it down like a. And I do this in my role as a moderator in my own town. I say, this vote, this motion requires a simple majority, as though there's a complicated majority. You know, you could probably think of a million examples like
right,
that.
Right. What kind of a nut do you think I am? Well, let me look at my list.
Let's see. Okay. Anyway, tell me about life with you, Steve. I've just got the idea about being an agent for the creepy people of life just to get them on these shows. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you talk me into it because you're my hero.
Oh, well.
I knew I was going to hear about that.
Well, what's new with me? I got reading glasses.
I just saw them on you. They look really nice.
Thank you very much.
They look really sharp.
First time I used them on the air, they went pretty well.
Yeah.
So, I was afraid that, you know, because I have an eye condition, that it was something serious was going on. But no, the doctor says to me, I see here that you're 40, right? I said, yeah. He said, well, he knew what it was. And he said, yep, you're not 37 anymore. So now I've got reading glasses.
See, now you're a hero. And not just for the reading glass, but I didn't want to bring up the eye condition, but you did. And despite that, you travel long distances to take you 73 years to get to a place because you can't drive a car as a result.
Right.
But you do it, and you do it day after day. That's heroic. I'm very serious about that.
Thank you.
My father and I, for example, never really ever got along. If I may just make a public statement like that.
Hey, how are you on Jerry Springer?
No, but I mean, I consider him a hero. For years, he worked during the Great Depression with so many people unemployed. He took badgering by these big bully bosses of his who, you know, who yelled and screamed at him about nothing and yet continued to work and provide for his family, including me. I mean, that's heroism.
Yep.
Why don't we get back to that again?
I don't know, because you like that topic. You're going to be talking about it all night.
I may very well. You know what we are going to be talking about? Thank you very much for mentioning that. In a little bit, we'll be talking with this couple who live in Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula, which is kind of nice. Never been out. Have you ever been there?
No.
I've never been to any place in Michigan. That's so sad. What if this plane crashes and we all die? And meantime, I've never been to Michigan. You know, those disaster movies, they always say, God, we're going to crash and die, and I've never been to Paris. I've never been to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Anyway, she and her husband, Buddy, Peter, Penny DeYoung and her husband, turned their home into a zoo. They have, what, eight, you said 85 acres or 80 acres of land or something. And they, I see, I'm asking you, and I'm going to be the one to interview them. Well, that's kind of interesting, because I have about 28 acres of land. I could turn that into a zoo.
I thought you had.
I guess I already have. You know, but only in the house. I have the only house where you have to wipe your feet to go out. I don't want you to mess up my garage and the grounds.
I love to get into your car because there's hay or there's, you know, you can tell that you're that outdoorsy kind of guy. And that you do run a stable or a zoo or a farm or something.
Some sort of thing. I know that. You can't drive because I do tire on hay in my car, my little wagon. So as a result, when you drive along and the wind is blowing in and the window is open and stuff, it's hard not to be eating hay by the time you get to whatever your destination is.
And when I get home, when you drop me off, I get home and I'm wiping that stuff off for several minutes.
Bitch, all you want. The fact is, you get a ride home. Don't complain.
You're right.
Can you say bitch on the air?
Probably not.
Yeah, you can't say it in Middleton where I live. It's against the zoning regulations. So I try to get that out of my system here. And also, you mentioned the wiffle ball thing. And you said you played wiffle ball.
We played wiffle ball last Saturday in Hudson, Massachusetts, where my sister and her family live. And my niece, Amanda, was celebrating her 9th birthday. And her request for her birthday, she wanted to have a sleepover, so she had a couple of her friends over, but during the evening, before the adults had to leave, she wanted to have a wiffle ball game, so that's what we did. We had a wiffle ball game.
And you said you did well at that?
Well, I gave up 6 runs in the first inning, if you consider that well.
Well, you were the pitcher.
But
okay.
I think under the circumstances, that was doing well, because obviously, you're playing against 9-year-olds, and you'd like to see them get a couple of hits, so I made sure they got some hits.
Ladies and gentlemen, isn't that a crock? Hey, hold on a minute. I have a couple of other commercials. That's for good luck. And that's for good luck right there. I don't know what that means exactly. The temperature, by the way, outside our plush but not overly ostentatious WBC studios is 64 degrees, which is really nice. It's a little, do you hear a whistle?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's my headphones or not. I got the cheap ones.
Yeah.
They bleed easier, so maybe I should try that. Whoop, don't do that, Steve. I'll just sit over here.
Okay. What's that? Oh, I see what we do. Yeah, okay, now we take
there
care
you
of that.
Yeah, now I can't hear anything. That's
yeah, yeah, that's good. Okay. I'm turning your headphone leveled out. I've been talking a lot this past half hour about technical things here in the studio. Nobody has any idea what I'm talking about. That seems to be all I want to talk to you about. I don't know. Now, you're working down in Providence this next week.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, not next week, but I'm at Monitor Radio next week.
Yeah.
And I'm hosting their 5 a.m. show.
Because I get a lot of mail from people say, Steve does a nice job, and why isn't he on more? And I tell them that you're doing a million other things.
Well,
you're just so darn busy.
So I'm doing Monitor Radio, and then I'll be down in Providence filling in on a show down there for a week. That'll be interesting.
Well, let's mention the station. Well, let's see. WPOR, isn't it?
P-R-O.
P-R is Portland. That's right. P-R-O is Providence.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm
going to
be
doing
a midday show down there in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I really didn't expect I was going to be saying this on WBZ, but
yeah.
So that should be interesting.
Yeah, no, that's kind of good. This will be a talk show in the morning, 9 to noon, something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I can't believe
it. I mean, if I'm going to be your hero, I'm going to do all kinds of taboo subjects and things, even though underneath I'm scared. That's what makes it me a hero.
That's exactly
and
right.
If I were not, you know, if I were not afraid of this and I just went ahead, I'd just be stupid. But when you do things despite the fact that they scare you, then you're a hero.
There you go.
That would be good to go up to somebody who's just done something that looks like it might be heroic, and you want to say to them,
Did you do that despite the fact that you were terrorized at the thought of it and you did it in order to help people? Or are you just plain stupid foolish and you just did it and you had no fear at all because you're dumb? A lot of times when you see somebody do something that you think, man, I would never do that, you think they were either very brave or very stupid. I mean, you do think that a lot. It does come up in life, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay, in just a minute, what we're going to do is bring in the zoo people, the ones who've got that zoo up near home in the Upper Peninsula. Then we'll talk about the wiffle ball tournament, which takes place in Hopkinton, Massachusetts.
That's neat.
This next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, which will be kind of fun. And I guess they expect quite a number of people that turn out for all of that.
You know, if you really know what you're doing with those wiffle balls, you can, when you pitch, you can make the ball do all kinds of things. I do not know what I'm doing, so that's why I give up 6 runs in the first inning.
No, from what I understand, it's really hard to hit that if you do have anybody who has any, the slightest bit of talent. And they don't, in this wiffle ball thing, they don't want you to throw the ball really hard. Can you throw the wiffle ball really hard?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, you can make it do things without even throwing it that hard. You can make it jump and curve and slide and do all kinds of things.
I never played.
I could do that.
Wiffle ball.
Really?
And I've never been to the Upper Peninsula, so I hope this plane doesn't crash.
This is quite a night for you, isn't it?
This is a wonderful night for me.
Glad to be here to see you.
Hey, Steve Lavelli, good luck. And we'll see you again, I hope, very, very soon, because it's a really great pleasure to listen to you.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
And she and her husband, Buddy, have a zoo up there on their own land. They have about 80 acres of land in the Upper Peninsula. Whereabouts is Wallace, Penny?
Well, I don't know if the folks if they know the area at all. We're about, 60 miles north of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Green Bay's a pretty big town.
Yeah, but you're way past the Mackinac Bridge and all of that.
Yeah, we're south of the Mackinac Bridge.
Oh, you're south of the Mackinac
Bridge.
Right,
right.
Okay, so you're not really way up at the tip
end of
it.
No, we're not way up on the tip, no.
And you have 80 acres of land. And
yeah.
You're a dairy farmer and a truck farmer?
Right. Well, I milk cows for a living, and my husband drives semi.
Oh, he drives a truck. You're not a truck farmer. You're a truck. He's a truck driver.
Right, right.
Okay. What kind of cows do you have, and how many do you have?
Well, where I work, I milk cows, but here at the zoo, we've got all exotic animals. We've got lions and tigers and bears, and we have a leopard and some curico lynx, a little Florida panther, some emus, some Watusi cattle. That's a type of an African cattle. Lots of different things.
Now, where do you get all these animals?
We buy them from different zoos and different breeders. Some things are, a lot of times you get people who get something for a pet and they realize that, oh my gosh, it's going to grow up, you know, to be a big African lion or something. You know, when animals like that are little, people think that they'd be fun to have for a pet. But when they grow up, they realize that you're talking about a big and sometimes dangerous animal.
Now, when did you start collecting these animals, Penny?
Well, we started about 17 years ago with white-tailed deer, and then we got one black bear, and then we got a cougar, and then after that it just kind of snowballed, and we decided to, you know, try to make it big enough to open to the public and just add more and more animals every year.
How do you happen to manage a dairy and your husband continues his job as a truck driver when you must be building fences and cages and all kinds of stuff?
Yeah, all the time. Well, I work pretty much days and he works nights, so there's always somebody here. We never take vacations together. Usually, we just never take them.
I don't see how you can.
No.
What do you do with the animals if you, I mean, even you think about them? So you have to get people to come and feed these animals while you're away. So you really can't get away.
No, we can't, because a lot of times he'll go, like, say, a lot of times he'll go down to Ohio or somewhere to pick up an animal, and then I'm home, you know, because you can't, they're just too big of an animal to, you know, it's not like having somebody come in and feed your dog.
I know it.
So,
because even that could be a job, you know,
right,
feeding a
right.
dog or,
or a horse, or even, you know, simple animals like that.
Right. About 200 head, three times a day.
Oh, boy. And then you come home in the evening to take care of the other pets? Or your
right,
your husband is home during the day because he works at night, you said.
Right.
So you guys ever get together at all?
Sometimes. A lot of times we pass each other on the road, actually. We leave a lot of notes.
leave a lot of notes? I love
notes,
the way you say
that.
Now, has this been going on, this kind of a relationship, for this length of time? And does it... It doesn't seem to have harmed your marriage at all, then.
We both of us love animals, so this kind of was meant to be, I guess. Actually, me and my husband, we had two dates a year and a half apart when we met. You know, we had two dates a year and a half apart, got married, and we've been married 22 years. So I guess we were kind of meant to be together.
You had one date, then a year and a half later you had the second date,
and then got married 6 weeks later, and that was 22 years ago.
He proposed to you on that second date?
Yep. Yes, he did.
I would have loved to have been there. Did you recall what he said?
Well, see, he lived in the city, you know, down in Indiana, and I think the thing was he wanted to move up in the country, and it was kind of a package deal. He had to take me along with the land.
Oh, I see.
But no, we get along real good, you know, and we enjoy the people coming. Our zoo's open now we're open all 7 days a week. Weekends are our busiest time. We get anywhere, usually about 300 people on Saturday, you know, about the same on Sunday.
Your charges are pretty reasonable. What is it,
$2? $2. Children 5 and under are free. And there's a lot of things here they can pet. I've got two baby bears that were born here. Their names are Winnie and Pooh, and the kids can pet them. We've got a baby tiger they can pet, a baby black leopard, a baby African lion, you know, and then we've got, like, my daughter had a baby calf.
Wow.
And we've got horses and, you know, the normal everyday pets, too.
How many horses do you have?
We have three.
Oh, do you? Because I have a horse also.
Do you?
Yeah, see, that's why I feel a kinship towards you, Penny.
Okay, well... My daughter just graduated this past May, and we bought her a registered Arabian stallion for graduation present.
Oh, really? That's beautiful. That's like buying a kid a Mercedes-Benz for graduation.
Right. No, she wanted a horse. She's an animal lover.
But I mean, that's not a cheap horse. That's expensive.
He was expensive, but he's worth it. He's just gorgeous.
So you have plenty of land for trails and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I used to, my parents live about 4 or 5 40s right straight east of our house. And we can go there. Well, you can drive the car because we had a road made. But right through the woods, my daughter rides horse over there all the time. Beautiful trails through here.
I was trying to figure it out. Now, you have one daughter, then one child?
Well, I have three kids, but my other two are gone. My oldest daughter's married. I've got two grandchildren.
Okay, so are you in your, 50s, would you say? Or
no, I'm 41.
Oh, you're just 40. You're just a kid.
Sometimes I don't feel like that.
No, but I mean, you work so hard. I'm trying to think. Well, there's no sense in looking that far in the future because you've got a lot of very productive years ahead.
Yeah, well, I think my bears and my lions and stuff will probably outlive me, though, because bear in captivity will live like 30 years.
Yeah, when you think about that, have you had animals die on you at all? You must have with all that.
A few, and we actually have been very, very lucky. The only one I can think of that died on us, I had a bobcat for about a year and a half, and what happened to her was she got in... down in the basement in my laundry detergent. At that time, I used liquid detergent, and this is a good warning for anybody with pets. She knocked it over, walked through it, licked her paws off, and it was enough to kill her.
That's awful, but yeah. she was in your basement at home?
Yeah, she got down in the basement, and she was playing down there and knocked over the laundry soap. The lid wasn't on tight.
Oh, my.
So,
do many of the animals end up down in your basement? And if they do, how do you get them back to where they're supposed to be?
Well, in the winter, sometimes we house animals in the basement, animals that require heat because we don't have a heated barn yet.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I've got quite a few critters down there.
were you planning on building a heated barn?
Eventually, when, you know, as soon as we get the money, we have been... we had articles in newspapers all over. I mean, we even heard about it being in a Florida paper, and now we're starting to get donations from people, so that helps out.
Oh, okay. Now, for example, lions come from warm weather countries, do they?
Right, but lions will, they take winter just fine as long as they've got some kind of housing to go into, and it doesn't have to be heated.
Okay, that's pretty true. Most animals, as long as you keep them out of the wind and the rain.
Right.
They're okay.
But we'd like to get animals that require heat in the winter, like kangaroos, wallabies, stuff, you know.
you're not ever going to stop this, are you?
Oh, no. We got big plans, you know. It's, of course, with a lot of things that you plan, it's always the money that holds you back, you know.
I've noticed that.
If we could win a lotto, we could do a lot of things here.
Now, I have to be a smarty on this one thing there. You're talking about kangaroos. You said wallaroos.
Wallabies.
Wallabies. Now, the difference between a wallaroo and a wallaby, one is bigger than the other, is it not?
Right.
Which one is which?
The wallaby is your smaller version of a kangaroo.
Okay.
And your kangaroo are the bigger ones.
Okay, but the wallaby is the small one, and the wallaroo is the big one.
Right.
I'm trying to think of how I can remember that in the future. Wallaby, small. No, wallaby.
How about wallaby wants to be big, but he's small?
Yeah, I know that. If the wallaby were big, you could use the B for big, but the wallaby...
We got three of them. We paid $1,200 for the three of them.
Oh, for the three. Well, that doesn't sound
That's
bad.
That's not too bad, no. No, not really. You know, the tigers and stuff like that are a lot more. We looked into a white Siberian tiger. And them are $15,000 a piece.
White Siberian tigers.
White Siberian?
Yeah, it's a seller's market for white Siberian tigers, apparently. Wow.
Right.
You sound like an absolutely remarkable pin. Is your husband out driving a truck right now?
Yep, he's at work.
Okay, now, can you relax now? Are you all through?
I got to get up in about 4 hours and get ready for work.
Oh, because you milk the cattle even on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, 7 days a week.
What kind of cows do you have at the dairy?
Just Holstein cows, milk cows.
Okay, because we have lots of those out here, too. That's not too dramatic, but...
No, that's nothing to get excited about. When you see them every day, you know,
I know it.
Well, we, like with our baby animals, we raise everything. We started out in the house. Like my baby bears, they were in the house up until the time they learned how to open the refrigerator.
Once they learned how to open the refrigerator,
then they had to go out. Yeah.
I see. When they opened the refrigerator, they actually stuck their paws in there and pulled
out
food.
I came home from work one evening and they were got into the fridge and the stuff was just flying out.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, it's just...
I say it's funny because you're the ones who had to clean up after that.
I walked in, I'm like, what are you girls up to? And they're looking at me like, hey, we didn't do it. Somebody did it, you know.
Do you have a nice... I don't know how to phrase this, but do you have a nice relationship with these animals? Like when you're going, are you ever afraid of any of these animals? Because they could hurt you.
Oh, yeah. I don't think afraid is the right word because, like I said, most of them we've raised, but we respect them. And with the big cats, you learn you never get down low because then you're prey. You know, like you would never sit down or lay down in their pen because then you're low and then, you know, they're thinking, lunch, you know. Buddy's been hurt a couple times, mainly by the bears, once by the big tiger. I've never been bitten or never had stitches. But see, when they're babies in the house, I'm with them more than anybody, and they learn that Ma's got a pretty hard hand. When Ma says no, it's no.
And okay, so you pretty got them trained fairly well then.
Right. Pretty. You know, I wouldn't say trained, but you know, it's like it's similar to a dog, and most of our things we raise up with dogs. Because they tend to take on characteristics of a dog.
Do you keep your animals all segregated? Are they all in separate cages and fenced in areas and stuff?
Actually, no. We've got a baby lion and baby tiger and a leopard all together.
And they get along.
They get along real good. I mean, my horses can come as far up as our house, and they walk right along the bear pen and by the tiger pen, and you know, they're like, no big deal. We see that every day. They're not worried about it, you know?
Yeah, see, I have this is kind of silly for me to compare my animal collection with yours, which doesn't come close. But I think most people would be surprised to know that even dogs and cats get along fine.
Oh, yeah.
There's no problem. And we have a hen that walks around and, you know, and it's
a plus for all of us.
I'm very happy to be here.
I'm just so glad because we're just so darn happy to have you here. And Jack Hart is here. What a, you know, double threat. When we have Tony and Jack together, the other stations might just as well sign themselves off, damn it, because their broadcasting means nothing. RKO should sign off right now.
You know, they should. They really should.
You know how to turn a transmitter off? Could you go over to their studios, their transmitter? I think it's, where is it? At Burlington or someplace?
I don't know.
Well, you know, wherever it is, it's an eyesore.
Well, what I could do is just run across the street with a pair of wire cutters and just cut the whole thing right off, and that'll be the end of it.
I think that's an excellent idea. Excellent idea.
But there's no need to, because...
Nobody's listening anyway.
That's right. They're all tuned in here. May as well not put any added burden on the engineers.
In fact, they may be broadcasting our show anyway. It's funny you should mention it, because I was thinking the same thing. What's the sense in going up against us? Why not, you know, join them?
Yeah.
And I think that's probably true of WEEI.
Sure.
Which used to be WHDH.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way I can think of it.
The old WHDH.
Yeah. And the old WEI is now something else. It's
WBNW.
That's right. It's Bloomberg, the furniture store's radio station. whatever the hell
it is. You bought the hat.
That's right. You remember that when you bought the hat?
Raymond's.
Well, you weren't around then.
Sure. There was a Raymond's in downtown Boston, as I recall, and then down in Quincy Center, there was a Raymond's, maybe up until 72 or so.
I don't know the one down there, but the one in Boston was around for years.
Sure.
Uncle F, that's right, E-P-H.
Yeah.
He was the kind of the caricature. And bought was spelled B-O-T-T, where you bought the hat.
You bought the hat.
It was one of these junkie stores where stuff was piled up and not in neat order. I mean, they purposely did it that way.
Yeah, sure.
And so you felt you were really getting bargains at Raymond's because everything was messy.
Was it a precursor to Filene's Basement?
No.
Filene's has been around forever.
Yeah, Filene's has been around for years. And Filene's Basement is neat. I mean, Raymond's. It was not neat. I mean, it was just junk piled up all over the place. I don't know whether you got great savings or not.
But it was junky.
It was junky. It was junky. That's true. You know who else we have playing the game? We have two women. So we have two guys and two women. Maybe after the show, after the dumb birthday game, you guys can go and have breakfast together and perhaps establish kind of a long relationship.
Well, sorry. I'm already tied up. Thank you.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
I know the woman that you were with at various places that I have been and seen you both. Is this really, come closer, is this really serious?
Oh, absolutely.
No kidding.
I don't know if it's the same woman that you've seen me with in places.
I think it's a new woman, no?
Yeah, it's a new one. Yeah, it's been going on for a few months now. Yeah.
Yeah. A few months?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I'm tied up. Not doing anything, just sitting here tied up.
Yeah. I'm great. No, so you're so you see her on a regular basis and stuff.
Yeah.
Is she proud to be that close to a traffic guy? She must be. She's
in the business herself, and when I say the business, I do mean the industry.
She's in broadcasting also?
Yes.
Does she do traffic reports or what? What does she do in the business?
It was a bad joke there, and I am not going to touch it. Forget it. she up until most recently was doing services and such at a well-known Boston area FM station.
Well, we've named everyone on the AM dial. What station is that?
She was until recently at Magic.
Oh, Magic in the morning. In the morning. On the air? No, not on the air.
On the air,
but not on a regular. But you say she did special stuff.
She's done it until recently. She had been there for quite a while.
An actual disc jockey on the air stuff.
She did
she did on the air disc jockey and stuff, and then and service, you know, the sort of traffic and weather and
empty the trash,
and fun kind of, and empty the trash and fun, and you know, sort of fun contest kind of things and stuff on the morning show.
Okay, well, that's very, very nice.
But she smartened up and she got the hell out of the business. Oh no, she will remain in it.
So that's kind of nice that you guys have in the same business, talk about stuff and everything. Sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's really nice. You're kind of the, they used to call Norm and me this, but you're kind of the discount Chet and Natalie.
Yeah.
You're two people in the same business.
Yep.
When they can't get Chet and Natalie, they can get you and... do you care to give her name?
Oh, it's Moneen Daly.
What's the first name?
Moneen. M-O-N-E-N.
I've never heard that name. It's a pretty name. Moneen Daly.
Yeah.
Moneen... Mr. and Mrs. Moneen Hart. No, that's not the way it goes. Deborah.
Hi.
Hi, I'm sorry. I was trying to fix you up with these guys.
I said, I'm free.
Yeah. Are you free?
I don't have a breakfast thing. No.
You're making me nervous. I'm going to spill my Ovaltine here.
Oh, actually, you're at a... You're kind of in between these guys' ages and mine, I think. And yet you're not that close to me either.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I know.
Yeah. Because you're in your 40s, I would guess. That right? Because you mentioned a son who's in his 20s.
Right. Yeah, I'm in my 40s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like wide-eyed kids like that. I sound like that to Congressman Reynolds.
No,
I don't sound like you. Not a bit. Don't you forget it.
No, I won't.
Anyway, we're glad that you're playing the dumb birthday game.
That's great.
And we have, it's our pleasure. We have Jenny also from Gloucester's playing the game with us.
Yes, I am.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Norm.
Is this the first time you've played the game?
Yeah. First time I've called a station in my life.
And you hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
And you're with Deborah, and you're with Tony and Jack.
Jack, two handsome sounding men.
Yeah, they are. They're both absolutely. You know what bothered me? I was watching TV, and they're the news, and they got Jack. What's his name? John Kennedy Jr. Was he Junior or the third?
JFK Jr.
JFK Jr. And they've gone around asking people on the streets. You know, he's supposed to be now engaged to somebody, although nobody's saying anything, and nobody's really sure. This woman, you know. Boston's sexiest and most eligible bachelor. He's been touted as all of that. And so they go around interviewing people, and they say, what do you think? And the women are saying, oh, boy, she's so lucky. Boy, nobody even knows what kind of a guy he is. He may be a... I mean, he's a good-looking guy, but he may be a boring, totally nothing person. He might be disagreeable. No, I don't want to go there for dinner. I don't want to go to that movie.
That's right.
Yeah, he could be. I mean, nobody has any idea what kind of a person he is. He could be a real dullard. And yet, so why do women do that? Why does everybody get excited about that?
He shows a pretty face, and we're, you know.
I've heard that he has to have his coffee a special way, you know, can't eat without a special spoon.
You've always been a sore head, Jack. Sure. Jack is a nice looking guy, too, this Jack.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, so you know. But I don't know. I was sickened by that. I watched all three channels.
Did you hear Norm say that he watched all three channels? That's all there was back then for local news in Boston, channels 4, 5, and 7. And his observation on the presumptions people make, mostly about famous people, without knowing them personally, essentially judging on looks, was great. Well, it's time to close the vault and ride the radio waves home. For daily, fresh-drawn lottery numbers. See, it only took 26 years to complete that thought. Forever plaid. That's special impotence powder. No problem being a problem. Howard the Grasshopper. Synagogue Cantors. High mass vocal talents. Arthur Godfrey. Squealing feedback. Home zoos. The Upper Peninsula. Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my! The great sport of wiffle ball. Monitor Radio. WPRO. Steve Lavelli. Hope Shower. Moneen Daly. The High Priest of Traffic, Father Jack Hart, and the great radio cantor, Rabbi Norma Lenathan. I'm Brother Tony Nesbitt.